And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's going on, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered, of course, by our good friends over at Skip. Pete Jensen, Nick Alberga, back with you. And Nick, we got a lot to get to today, some mailbag questions and a great crossover guest from different sports. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And Pete, we are closing in on deadline time. It's a fun time to do this podcast, my man. What's up with you?
Yes, it is. And a lot of injury returns this week and some, right, that are correlating with the deadline. You see Ryan O'Reilly scoring in each of his first two games. Of course, Austin Matthews coming to multi-point game right in front of Patrick Kane. I mean, that's something that I think everybody in that building and watching that game was thinking about. They're kind of putting on a show to see if maybe they could be a potential suitor for a player of Kane's caliber. So that's what we're getting excited about with the build-up to the trade deadline March 3rd.
Hey, what do you think of the new terminology, trade-related reasons? We saw with Chychrun, now Gavrikov's not playing.
Yeah, it's a new trend, I guess. It's been going on for years where everybody around the hockey world knew that that was the reasoning, but now some of these teams are being smart, and especially with a player of Jacob Chychrun's caliber, right? He's dealt with a lot of injuries in recent years. You don't want him to go down at the wrong time. Maybe with the Kane situation, I know there was some regret with him in his post-trade comments with the Tarasenko thing. Maybe whatever injury he was dealing with a month or so ago, or maybe still lingering, it plays into the thing. So maybe Chicago missed the boat and not being able to trade Patrick Kane to the Rangers and get something serious in return.
Hashtag asset protection. I do want to talk about Patrick Kane a bit later on, but first, Pete talked about crossover athletes. We're so happy to bring in today's podcast, John Isner, Pete.
Yeah, he plays fantasy. He's a big Carolina Hurricanes fan. He's been reaching out to us at the show for years, and he places futures bets and stuff like that, over-unders. He loves to engage with hockey in any way possible in his free time, even though he's a pro athlete in another sport, in tennis.
Number 37 in the world, one of the best servers of all time, most aces in the history of the ATP Tour.
Wow.
6'10" from North Carolina, big-time Caniac. Here's our interview with John Isner.
John, we got this NHL Stadium Series on Saturday night. This is a long time coming for you guys to get your first outdoor game spotlight. What does this game mean to you as a longtime Caniac?
Oh, it's huge for the team. And yes, I have been a follower since 1997, since they moved to North Carolina. And you know, they're obviously, we know how good the team is. I mean, my estimation, they're one of the top three or four favorites to win it all. And the community is rallying behind them. They're selling out every single game. But to get to play this special outdoor game at Carter-Finley Stadium right across the street from PNC Arena is going to be great. It'll be 60-some thousand people there. And, you know, it's just really cool, I guess, for teams to be able to experience this, for the ones that have played an outdoor game. So it's going to be a very, very cool experience in Raleigh.
John, let's get down to some brass tacks here. How much faith do you have in Frederik Andersen? As somebody who's covered this guy in his days in Toronto, it just seems like sometimes he's just a bit allergic to the Stanley Cup playoffs. So what's your feel on Freddie Andersen from a fantasy perspective, also in the postseason for the Canes?
Well, I'm a believer. Look, as we know, the Maple Leafs, just in general, haven't been doing that well in the playoffs. There's something about maybe that market there. You know, there's a lot of pressure on them. Who knows? They might break through this year. They might not. I don't know. It looks like they're going to play Tampa first round. It's not easy. You know, so, but Freddie's been great for the Hurricanes. He has had some health issues. That's a little bit unfortunate. But with him and Ranta healthy, it's a great one, too. And if for some reason one of them doesn't stay healthy, you got the young kid from Chicago ready to step in. As we all know, probably played in 10, 11, 12 games already this year. So I think the Canes are – I don't have many question marks on their team. Maybe the health of their goaltenders is the biggest question mark, because they haven't been able to stay healthy throughout a whole season recently. So we'll see what happens. But I'm a believer. I've gotten to know him pretty well. He's a great guy, and I think he can do great things for the Canes.
It's funny, right? They call it doubles in tennis. They could call it triples down in Carolina with those three strong goalie options. And my question would be, you know, which guy would be hot at the right time? Which guy maybe would you want to start a winner take all game seven in any particular round? They didn't have that luxury last year, John, because you mentioned there were injuries in the Boston series, the Rangers series just kind of fell apart there. But is there a guy that you're looking at ahead of the trade deadline, March 3rd, that could bolster this forward group? I know I was messaging you earlier in the season. We were both really excited about Pacioretty, but unfortunately went down with another injury. So is there a guy that you want, whether it's O'Reilly or Larkin or Patrick Kane or someone like that?
Yeah, all those guys, those names are out there. Of course, the one name that was out there, and the rumors have died down a little bit, is Timo Meier from San Jose. And it may appear that he might be going to New Jersey or somewhere else. Who knows? But the Pacioretty injury, as we all know, is very, very unfortunate. And you just wish him all the best that he can get back to 100%. He needs to definitely take his time and get back and you know, get on that Kane's power play, which, you know, everyone was looking forward to seeing him operate on, especially in the playoffs, but it's not going to happen this year. As far as who the Canes go after, look, I have no idea. I'm not one of the higher ups. You know, maybe Dylan Larkin could be a nice fit. Patrick Kane, we'll see. Apparently he wanted to go to the Rangers. He was probably a little disgruntled there. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think if Carolina doesn't make any moves, I think they'll be just fine. I mean, we see what they can do even without Pacioretty, and they're lighting the world on fire this year. Apart from Boston, I think they have the second best record points percentage wise. So they are, they're doing great things even without, you know, Pacioretty, as we all know, is a gun.
So let me ask you this. Do you think they need to be reactionary to what the New York Rangers have put forth? The Rangers have won six in a row. You talk about teams who are boosted and uplifted by a trade. You get Tarasenko, you get Mikola, and you can't lose anymore. So do you think the Canes need to be reactionary to a team in their division and their rivals?
I don't think so. Look, I mean, the margins are so thin. I think Carolina can match up just fine with the Rangers right now. If they were to play them, it could be in the, you know, hopefully it's the conference semifinals, right? Hopefully Carolina wins the division and, you know, doesn't have to play them right away. But the Devils are hot on the Carolina's tail. So are the Rangers right now. So the Metro Division is very tough. The Rangers are, you know, do seem to be going all in, but there's some, you know, questions you have to ask yourself. Do you want to sell some of your future to try to win now? Do you think you got to make the decision if a top player from another team can come in and fit in well right away? Sometimes it doesn't work like that. So I think Carolina's management, especially since Tom Dundon took over all those years ago, has made a lot of good moves. So whether they make a move or don't, I think it's going to be the right one.
Who do you view as the Canes' biggest rival? I know Nick just mentioned the Rangers. I would think lately it would probably be the Bruins. I know the Capitals, who you guys are playing in the Stadium Series. You've been in the same division for a long time, even back when it was like, what, the Southeast or something. So who do you view as the Canes' biggest rival?
Yeah, the Southeast Division. That seems like 30 years ago. that is a good question. Maybe it's the Capitals. You know, they Carolina beat them in that seven-game series, but could also be the Rangers. Correct me if I'm wrong, Carolina beat them up in the bubble, right? In like five games.
I think maybe four or five games.
Yeah, it was a sweep. And then obviously the series last year was tough for Carolina fans. I was at that game seven. That was very tough. Damn. Now the Rangers have Trocheck on their team. So there's a lot of, there's probably not a lot of, you know, good feelings between those two teams, but it's hard to say. I mean, I don't really know if there's one in particular, but all I do know is that the Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be so incredibly tough. I mean, if Carolina's fortunate enough to win the Metro, they could play Washington. It could be Pittsburgh. It could be Florida if they come on strong. So there are no easy outs, as you guys know.
Have you dabbled in on any futures plays this season? A team that impresses me lately and always seems to impress, it's gone under the radar, is like the Tampa Bay Lightning. Do you have any futures plays? Yeah.
I do not have on Tampa Bay. Of course, I have one on Carolina. Mm-hmm. That's just a natural. I think I looked up and had a play on them like 12 to 1 or something to win it all. I think that's nice. Good value. I think they're down to 8 or 9 to 1 right now. So
yeah,
I'll ride with the Canes right there. I have a lot of over unders on the season.
Okay.
And I think I made eight of those plays. I think I'm looking at 5 and 3. I have two that are just surefire locks. I'm very proud of myself for taking the Bruins over.
Ooh. Okay.
Their number was only 95.5, amazingly. And obviously they're going to go for, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I'm on the Canes over, which I'm just a homer. So I'm always going to ride with my teams. If they do great, I'm going to win some money. If they don't, I'm not, but it's so much fun. And when the playoffs roll around, I might look back into these futures plays.
So John, when you play fantasy, you're always in tune with, to the extent possible, of course, with your busy tennis schedule, you're always in tune with these big storylines around the league, whether it affects your team or not.
Yeah.
Curious, like being a taller guy, of course, Tage Thompson might be your height on skates, right? I mean, this guy is incredible. Taller guy, do you have added appreciation for what he's doing in the scope of the league this season?
Oh, I absolutely do. I mean, he is an absolute beast up there in Buffalo right now. One that, unfortunately, Pete, I probably should have spoken to you a little bit more before the draft because he was not on my radar, and I wish I did have him. And I'm actually, you know, we're in a pretty competitive league. It's 14 teams rotisserie league. I'm kind of stuck in fourth place right now. I don't really see how I can move up because I have some injuries to my goaltenders, and you don't want to be taking chances on goaltenders on, you know, bad teams right now. So I'm not getting as many goalie starts as I would like, which is unfortunate because I just can't quite make my quota, but we'll see what I can do. There's some categories that are close in our league. Shorthanded points is one of them. You don't want to chase those, but if I could get a few of those, then that can maybe get me up to second or third place.
Yeah, if you need a goalie, a guy we've been marking up lately is Aiden Hill of the Vegas Golden Knights, obviously with Logan Thompson on the shelf. So maybe look at him.
I actually have him and Thompson.
Well, there you go.
I wanted to handcuff the Knights team, which has been probably my best move. You know, then you got this Connor Ingram in Arizona who's sitting there available, but I'm like, God, he's playing Tampa. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pick him up. And then he has a 50 save shutout. So little things like that. I mean, I've made moves on goalies on teams that aren't so great and hasn't worked out for me.
Yeah, that's fair. And before he came on, I was boasting how I was on the Yotes last night for some reason. It was a back-to-back for Tampa after beating the Cup champions, the natural letdown. But we talked about Tage Thompson, the powerful shot, and I'm a big proponent of shooting the puck in this league. You're a big-time server. Can you draw any similarities to, like, shooting the puck to serving?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's just you have to be aggressive. You know, get the puck on net, good things will happen. It's what everyone always says. And for me, my tennis game, it starts and ends with my serve. If I'm not serving well, it's very likely I'm not going to win. And if you're not putting a lot of pucks on net, it's very likely you're not going to win as well. So for me, that's my biggest weapon. I think that's what the Hurricanes do very, very well also. They get the puck, they shoot it, and they have a lot of skill guys that can go in there and clean it up.
Yeah, they're always dominating the shot attempts, no doubt about it. Yep. And when you look at around the league, is there a player – being known for your aces and stuff like that, like we were saying, is there a player that you really are impressed by their hard shot? I know Elias Pettersson was kind of an underrated option, just won the hardest shot, but there have been big guys like Chara and Shea Weber and Alex Ovechkin, of course, that really dominate that type of storyline.
Yeah, the first two names that came to my mind, I actually wasn't so aware that a Pettersson had such a strong shot, but the first two names that came to my mind were two guys that aren't in the league anymore, Chara and Shea Weber. But if I could compare myself to one person, and I don't, it's not an appropriate comparison because this guy's one of the greatest of all time, is Ovechkin. I just love watching him on the power play, even when he's not even doing anything, even if he's just sitting in the office, just waiting for the puck to come his way. It's incredible to watch what he's doing. And he's, you know, he's 38 years old, I believe. And, you know, on pace to maybe break that record.
Yeah, that's the best part about Alex Ovechkin. Like 85% of the time, you know what's going to happen, and the goalie still can't stop him. And I just think that's what makes him amazing. You got to give us a scoop. So we got the Outdoor Stadium Series game coming up this weekend. Any tailgate plans? Like, set us a scene of the atmosphere. What to expect there?
That's a good question. I haven't thought about that yet. But the tailgate outside PNC Arena, even for a normal game on Tuesday night, is very, very special. Now, when you bring the game over to the college football stadium, it's going to be incredible. I think it's an 8 o'clock game on Saturday night. So the Hurricanes fans are going to treat this exactly like an NC State football game at night. They will be getting there at 9:10 in the morning with the barbecues up. It's going to be a very, very cool scene. And great question. I haven't thought about it, but it's one that I'm going to be around the area pretty early and check it all out. And it's going to be very, very special. I think the weather is going to be great. Raining on Friday, but not on Saturday. So it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, you're right on, man. 8 p.m. Eastern on ABC from Carter Finley Stadium in Raleigh. Yeah. You'll be in attendance. It's going to be a really great time. And when you look at spots around Raleigh, if you're not going to be tailgating and you have some time during the day, is there a go-to place for you to either chill out or just grab a really nice bite to eat?
That's a good question. There's a barbecue chain called Smithfield's that's really good. There's great food in Hillsboro, which is just outside of Raleigh, a small little cozy town. But what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be hanging out a little bit. Justin Williams is a friend of mine. He lives in the area. We're going to be hanging out. We might play some golf. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe some pickleball. Awesome. He's gotten really good at that. And we'll just be chilling. So I think he's going to be at the game with us, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mr. Game 7, I like that. I often love asking players, like, when they get to play outdoors, like, how cool the atmosphere is. So I'll translate this to your world. What's the coolest place you've ever played tennis? Yeah, what are some of your favorite tournaments you've been playing in?
Oh, man, I've been all over the world. I've played in, you know, the coolest places that our sport has to offer. Probably the most special has to be center court at Wimbledon. It's not the biggest, but, you know, it's the hallowed grounds and it's got all the history. It's just steeped in history. And I was able to play Andy Murray there last year, you know, one of Great Britain's best players ever. And I played really well on center court at Wimbledon against him. And that was a very, very special experience. So for me, that's got to be at the top of the list. It's definitely our Augusta National. And it's just a very cool place. So, I mean, I would liken it to playing an outdoor game at Fenway Park or something. It's just very, very cool.
That sounds awesome. And hope to catch up with you when you're at the U.S. Open this year, like a couple years back. Something I look forward to, no doubt. And one last thing for me, Rod Brind'Amour seems like to be one of the best motivators in the entire NHL year to year. He always gets the most out of the Canes. They always seem to make deep runs. You ever thought about asking him to motivate you during one of your matches or something like that? I mean, he seems like he could do some great things, right?
It's actually a funny story. He, very, very cool of him. He actually, I got hurt last year at the US Open. I had a really kind of freak incident and I fell and broke my wrist. I was able to win the match, but then afterwards couldn't do anything with my wrist once the adrenaline wore off. And so that was a bitter pill to swallow. And I was out for the rest of the year. He actually sent me a text. A friend of mine, I guess, gave him my number and he sent me a text and said, don't let this discourage you, even though you're a little bit older, just keep pushing forward. Don't let anyone tell you can't do anything. You can't come back from this. So that was very, very cool. I mean, I know him a little bit, I mean, just being around the team, but he is one of the best motivators around. He's in the gym every single day. It's kind of one of those things that the players don't want the coach to be in better shape than them. So they gotta match his work ethic, and they all seem to really, really love him, even the new faces on the team. Raleigh is a very, very attractive place for free agents right now. That wasn't the case 10, 15 years ago.
Well, John, we really appreciate your time, man. Have a great time out in Raleigh for the outdoor game. Caniacs deserve it, and we really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it, guys.
That was a lot of fun, man. And I tell you, I think the Carolina Hurricanes, Pete, I'm still thinking about Showtime Patrick Kane. So it's not going to work out with the New York Rangers. We talked to John about the fit there potentially with Carolina. Handicap that trade for me. From a fantasy perspective, I think owners have to be all over trying to acquire Patrick Kane. For me, this is drawing a lot of similarities to last year with Claude Giroux, where he really struggled. The pressure, the outside noise, gets traded to Florida and rips it up over a point per game. I can see the same thing here with Patty Kane. Can you?
I'm a little off on Kane fantasy wise. People have been waiting all season long for this guy to make up his mind. Where is he going? Is he going at all? Is he healthy? Is he not? Patrick Kane to me is all hype fantasy wise. And if you wait around all season, you might regret it. So I would rather get in on like an O'Reilly. You could pick this guy up. You could go out and trade for Dylan Larkin. Producer Bobby's been on the Red Wings this past week, and it has been a wonder what they've been able to do. And of course, they're tied with Buffalo as of record time on this Thursday with 58 points in 53 games. Still would have to jump teams like the Islanders in Florida, but they're back in business, right? And the new coach this year, I think, has made a big difference, Nick.
Derek Lalonde, he was actually a guest on the trip with Darren Millard, so make sure you check that out. But yeah, I won't lie, Detroit's really, really disappointed me this year. I know we expected a step from that team. They can't keep the puck out of the net. Got some controversy behind the scenes. Verona's back in the mix. Maybe you take a peek there. But yeah, Dylan Larkin, maybe it's the All-Star game boost, but what, 9 points in the last five games? Sounds like maybe he's closing in on an extension, so it's very unlikely, in my opinion, he gets dealt here. But yeah, it's been a big-time story for me is Larkin and the Red Wings and what direction they want to go, right, Pete, with some of these pending UFAs they have.
Right, and I like what Robbie Fabry has done, right? Yeah. That guy's had a ton of serious injuries through the years, like three or four long-term injuries. Comes back, he's playing first power play and second line. So first power play, he's playing with those guys like Larkin and Bertuzzi and Seider. And now with Lucas Raymond on IR, this guy's going to have a major role for the rest of the season. 6 points in his past three games with four on the power play. So maybe give a look to Robbie Fabry if you're a little hesitant, for good reason, to go back to the well and pick up Jacob Vrana. I know you have your concerns. I personally love his ceiling, but I can understand the concerns all around.
I was going to add too, I know I'm down on sophomore defensemen. I don't care if they win the Calder Trophy, and I was fading Mo Sider. Now's the time to trade for Mo Sider. He's starting to cook. He's starting to play really, really well. I watched him on Wednesday night, And he was the same Mo Sider we saw win the Calder Trophy last season. So sometimes it's a bit of a bump in the road. It's like learning how to ride a bike. You take those training wheels off and then you're free. And I see that right now. I honestly do with Mo Sider. So it's buy time on Sider, Pete.
Yeah, and people are looking to make moves right now for the fantasy stretch run, Nick. Yeah. And one fan question we got, who do you like better for the rest of the season? Two guys seeing some time on the top lines lately, for one for a contender, one for a team near the bottom of the standings. Dylan Dubé has been hot lately, or Raphael Harvey Pinard. The guy said he's leaning Dubé, and I think that's the way I would lean as well.
Yeah, I would have to go with Dubé. He's been very inconsistent throughout his career. So he's a plug and play guy. Like, pick him up for the week. He gets cold again. Mm-hmm. You move on from him. But certainly who he's playing with, we like too, and Lindholm and Toffoli. And I just think there's more value. I mean, you look at Montreal outside of Nick Suzuki, you can make that case. Who else do you really want to own long-term in that Montreal roster, especially with Cole Caulfield out? I know Hoffman could be dealt. I know Monahan could be dealt, but I think it's an easy fade of the Montreal player, Raphael Harvey Pinard, and more so looking in the direction of Dylan Dubé. But do I feel great long-term about this sustainability for Dubé? Probably not, Pete. I won't lie.
Yeah, and I mean, Huberdeau's getting to drop territories, getting outperformed by guys like Dubé and Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman and Mangiapane. Coleman's really good, by the way. He's getting back to that territory that he was at with the New Jersey Devils a couple of years ago. Yeah. When he was pounding out shots on goal, you know, like two or three shots a game. He's getting you the hits. He's scoring a touch. So, you know, like, I'd much rather have even a Blake Coleman over Huberdeau. And I mean, Huberdeau this past week, Nick, dropped out of the top 100 forwards. I checked where he ranks in league scoring and points outside the top 110. There's no way anybody could have ever seen this drop off coming. I hope for his sake and for the Flames' sake that he turns it on down the stretch just to salvage this fantasy season, because it's been a disaster.
What are the strategies I like employing in fantasy hockey? And it seems to come to fruition a lot. Is a player who comes in a new setting like Huberdeau, and the first year it's off, and then they sign a new contract and they're just not the same player. And while it doesn't happen all the time, I think if you look at the data, it happens quite frequently. So suffice it is to say, I'm going to steal Huberdeau in drafts next year, because I still view him as a top 25 fantasy player. I think he bounces back. I just think you throw this away and you look forward and potentially to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Maybe he can have his coming out party, because it's been a downright disaster. Like, you look conversely at Matthew Tkachuk, man. He's been incredible with the Florida Panthers from a fantasy perspective. And then you look at Uyghur. He's had a really, really tough year. You look at Huberdeau. It's been another tough year for him. I think from that perspective, it's a whole different story, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And as we look forward to the second half, we look forward to all these different injury returns. Jake DeBrusk, probable for Thursday night. Would be great to see him back into the top nine forward group, maybe even on the top line like he was playing earlier in the year for the Boston Bruins. Anthony Duclair sounds like he could come back. I know we've been talking about him for months. It sounds like he could finally come back after the Panthers' four-game road trip concludes. And then even some deeper guys down the line, right? Like Arthur Kaliev came back, scored a power play goal. He's got 10 power play points this season, plays mostly on the third line, but that guy's dynamite whenever he gets ice time, Nick.
I'm very curious to see what LA does first and foremost. Are they in on Chychrun? Are they not? But yeah, you're right. And that's all Kaliev has done since his days in the OHL, even his days at the world junior level with Team USA, is score goals. So it will happen at some point in time where everything clicks and he's a guy who scores 25 to 35 goals in the NHL. I feel that confident about the player. I think for right now, like a strong DFS look. I think if you're looking for a waiver option on a light night, I think Kaliev's a good look as well, Pete. But I just wanted to add, too, just to tie a bow on the Patrick Kane conversation, we have to quit this slander, man. Like, I'm watching social media and people want to offer peanuts. Like, I took heat from Rangers fans a couple weeks back for suggesting Filippito would have to be in an offer for Patrick Kane. This is Showtime Patrick Kane, and we're chalking this up to 50 games and just writing the obituary for this guy. I think you pump the brakes. He's one of the clutchest players of all time. He's been a fantasy stud for many, many years. I would probably do the same, with all due respect, playing with Philip Kurashev. Like, give me a break. Mm-hmm. You watch Patrick Kane play right now. He doesn't look motivated, man. And I think what could motivate him is a trade to a contender, Pete. So I'm buying on Patrick Kane. I know we got past that comment and that talk, but I want to just solidify things, how I feel about Patrick Kane. Okay.
No, I hear you, man. I mean, how many guys are available in maybe NHL history at any point in their careers that are multiple time 100-point scorers? So as much as I was being a little critical earlier, the guy dropped 92 points last season in 78 exactly. games playing for a non-contender. So I'm not discounting the fact that if he goes to the right spot, like Toronto, like Edmonton, like we were speculating with the Rangers, like those are the type of ceilings where you get excited about Kane again, and he would instantly go from being like a frustration point for someone's fantasy team where they've been waiting to being like a top 10 overall player. So that's why you do the waiting. That's why you have the patience, and that's why you hope that he lands in the best destination.
It's still a risk. It's still a gamble, but no question. There's going to be an upgrade over Max Domi and Philip Kurashev. Not to rag on these guys too much, but he goes to a legitimate team. He's in their top six. He's playing with bona fide fantasy studs. So I'm happy we got that out of the way. Number two, I was going to suggest you write a eulogy for today's podcast, man. The New York Islanders, things do not look good, fellas. Three straight losses. 6-5 to Vancouver, 4-3 OT loss to the Montreal Canadiens. Here's the King Daddy topper, a 3-2 shootout loss to the Ottawa Senators. Pete, how are you feeling about the Isles right now?
Not good at all. And that's not to say I don't like Horvat's impact so far. It's just way bigger problems than just one player or just one solution on the power play or something like that. They have some strong players at some key positions, but the rest of the roster just doesn't stack up to the top half of the NHL, let alone being a Stanley Cup contender like they were a couple of years ago. So, yeah, I mean, look, there are like 10 teams better than them in the Eastern Conference alone. And then you go out west and they might not be perfect out west, but you got grizzled teams like Dallas and Vegas and Winnipeg, right? And the LA Kings, who have won multiple championships before. And it kind of feels not like a lost cause, but it feels like the Islanders' time as a contender is up and they're not treating it as a retool or a rebuild. So it's putting them in a difficult situation for the rest of the season.
The unfortunate thing too is the games in hand part too. Like we've talked a lot about Buffalo and they finally jumped back on the saddle with that win against the Anaheim Ducks on Wednesday, but the Islanders are running out of racetrack, and you look comparatively to the teams around them and the standings have games in hand on them. So certainly I'm with you on that front. It's been a massive disappointment, especially when you have Ilya Sorokin in between the pipes and Brock Nelson's been on fire and Anders Lee's had a pretty good year. And so has Barzal, and they just can't get to that next level. But next thing you know, they're starting to get rather aged around that roster. And so I'm very curious to see what direction they go. You know, I think Darley needs to make a trade, changing the topic here, Pete, as we get closer to the deadline. The Minnesota Wild, man, like they're fading quickly and they're losing big time games. You get the Avalanche in a tough spot. back-to-back, of course, no Makar, and the Avs still find a way with Georgiev going on back-to-back nights, find a way to beat the Minnesota Wild. They're fading quickly. I think they're in dire need of a trade here, Pete.
Yeah, and they're not as strong on defense as they've been in previous years because of production trends. They're given the power play one time for most of the season to Addison, but then he's a third pair liability young defenseman. I mean, it's not his fault. It's the structure of the team right now. They've had to part ways with some good players because of the salary cap over the years, and now they're a fringe playoff team. I think a team like Calgary is going to get in over them. Certainly teams like Colorado, Vegas, even if they fall off. So yeah, Minnesota's in a tough spot. They might need to get in on the Chychrun sweepstakes. They might need to get in on the Ryan O'Reilly sweepstakes, you know, get some type of lift before the deadline, because it's sinking in the wrong direction right now. And speaking of the Western Conference and just some of these awards races, I know we were talking up Sorokin. He's been a stud. Yeah. Obviously Allmark is the front runner, but I wanted to ask you about Jake Oettinger, what this guy's putting together. I mentioned how, you know, the Dallas Stars are grizzled. They're a Stanley Cup contender. The guy's 23-7-8 with a 925 and four shutouts this season. He's a workhorse, 41 games played. Do you view Jake Oettinger as a Vezina Trophy caliber goaltender? Because at the All-Star game, I was talking to Jason Robertson, and he said that he really deserves more love for that trophy than he's currently getting.
Unequivocally would be my answer. Just the unfortunate part, he's stuck in the mix with Connor Hellebuck, with Linus Allmark, who just quite frankly doesn't lose hockey games, right. Obviously with Sorokin. So it's muddied waters is what I'm saying, but I think he's like the forgotten guy. And I have to give some props as well to friend of the podcast, Johnny Lazarus, for calling his shot in our YouTube special. He was all over Oettinger. I said, fade. This guy's a young goalie. He's going to struggle. And it's been the opposite. I look like an idiot again. Surprise, surprise. So props to Johnny. But I think when you look at Oettinger, Dallas has really, really impressed me. Like, you make the coaching change and Pete DeBoer hasn't skipped a beat. Robertson's been fantastic this year. So has Hintz. I think it's been obviously a better season for Ben, better season for Seguin. Klingberg's out of the mix there. Haskinen's taken that next step. Another team I'm looking at deadline time, Pete, what's Dallas going to do? Because they got to feel pretty good about themselves right now, no?
Right. I was going to say, we didn't get a chance to talk to Isner about it, but Isner currently lives in Texas, and he hits up Stars games all the time. I know he's a big, you know, Haskinen, Oettinger, Robertson, the young core in Dallas. And I wouldn't be surprised at all, especially if they add at the deadline, if we see a Stanley Cup final that Isner would love to see between the Hurricanes and the Dallas Stars, because that's the type of ceiling. We saw them get there a couple of years ago, and this seems like a stronger, more balanced team with a lot more youth. Like, they were getting some youth during that Cup final run in spurts, right? Kivi Ranta and some of these random guys. But ever since, it's like Hintz has gone on a rocket ship at an unbelievable pace, and Robertson's one of the best young players in the league, and Oettinger is one of the best young goalies in the league, or goalies in general. This team is stacked right now.
Jim Neal has done a tremendous job, not to mention some of the prospects they have come in that system as well. I could only picture John Isner, the ceremonial puck drop, his head's like hitting the rafters there because he's so tall, 6'10", but that would be fantastic. Dallas and Carolina. You know, it's also fantastic, our delivery of the week, Pete. Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have?
I'm going to go with Robbie Fabry. I think it's a really nice story of redemption and perseverance with all those injuries he had, the knee injuries, right? He's doing wonders for the Detroit Red Wings and got them back into a playoff race in a matter of a week span. So maybe they should think about whether or not they want to trade away Dylan Larkin at the deadline. I've been really impressed by Fabry on the first power play for Detroit.
I'm going to go with Tyler Toffoli of the Calgary Flames. This is good for our brand, I won't lie. We identified him as a sleeper in the preseason, and man, oh man, is he hip. He's lived up to expectation, full way. Dubé, Lindholm, Toffoli on the line right now for Calgary. They're on fire. And Toffoli, the last five games, 5 goals, 3 assists, 8 points, and 2 power play points. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
So, Nick, from the fantasy to the betting, if you're looking for more advice, in addition to the Action Network collab show that we did earlier in the week, definitely go back and check that out. They got a new show going on at the NHL. Tell me about it.
And I'm all over this show, Pete. NHL Puckline is a new show with our friends Lauren Jabara and Todd Furman. every Tuesday and Thursday on the NHL YouTube channel. Make sure you go check that out. They've already been producing some winners, and that's all we would love in this world, right?
Yeah, we got to talk to those guys on this show in the future for sure. We have had Jabara on in the past couple times. Todd Furman, we haven't talked to him since the All-Star game out in Vegas. It's been a while, but looking forward to catching up with him soon. Thanks again to John Isner. Have a great weekend, man. That's going to be a blast out in Carolina. I can't wait to watch that game in primetime on Saturday night. Both teams' fans are probably going to be rocking the red, right? It looked like I saw the renderings, Nick. It's like the whole crowd's red. It's probably going to be like that.
Yeah, it is. And I had a chance actually to catch up with Dylan Strome of the Washington Capitals on Leafs Morning Take. You can find that on YouTube, by the way. He is jacked. He is fired up. Unfortunately, we're not going to get Alex Ovechkin in that game. Condolences to him and his family on the passing of his father. I can tell you the Capitals are jacked up about that game, and I can't wait to watch it on Saturday night, Pete.
Yeah, and don't be surprised if the Capitals go out there and play for their captain, and like they have so many times in the past, spoil the party for the home team and win on the road, even when they're missing two or three guys. We've seen it a million times from those resilient Washington Capitals. So for John Isner, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you again next week.